The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, hour number two. We spend our time together here on the 19th of July, 2018. And, man, can I pull the curtain back even a little more? Because after I finished our chat with Mike Gallagher, in which, without naming names, which means there's no confidence, betrayed, we were, I don't know what got us going. Because it's Mike, it's me, and so that means you've got like double ADD that might be going. We're talking about Robin Williams, Anthony Bourdain, all these people in the depths of despair and who sometimes, plunge themselves into the abyss. And Mike mentioned this someone in his life whom he knows. And it's not someone I know, even though he did share who the person is. And I really do lift up a prayer here. And we just traded a couple of texts because he's, a little busy and on the threshold of his own show. I said, stay connected, which I know he will do. He doesn't need to hear that from me. I said, stay connected because you may save a life. Stay connected and you may save a life. And that's true no matter what the weather is, because in a case of individual and personal despair, sometimes a loving human connection can save a life. And today, with this weather nonsense, eyes open all around, man. If there's, let's say there's imagine a house or an older house, and you know that somebody elderly lives there. And quite honestly, if you're, driving by or walking by, what are you doing walking, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and like the AC unit's not running. I don't presume that AC units are going to be running 24/7 all day, but they very well might. And please, on the thing of AC, are any of you doing this? Well, it's 108 outside is my own personal protest. I'm jacking my AC down to about 64. Yeah. Don't do that. Okay. Just don't. It's funny because first of all, it's economically stupid. It is not necessary. In fact, if you want to help your AC unit out, if you usually keep your house at 71 or 72, why don't you bump that up to about 74? Believe you me. And if they go, it just doesn't seem quite as crisp, doesn't seem quite as frosty here in my home as it usually is. I got an idea. Set your thermostat at 74, 75. And then, go outside, walk around for 5 minutes, then come back in your house. It'll feel great. Okay. When we go on vacation, we leave the thermostat at like 77, but when we come in, after sweating like pigs, driving home from the airport, the 77 inside the house feels great because it's like 20 degrees cooler than it usually is. Everything is relative. So today, hang on a second, let's see if my phone tells me now, because we had a 109, now 108 instead of 109. Now that's, my phone reads where I am, so we're in Las Colinas, so that's Irving. Wow. And pardon me, I've started like two parallel things at the same time. Like that ever happens. But human contact, reaching out, watching out for each other, it's what we do. It's what we are called to do. And so let's do. In terms of individual life paths and despair and what kind of thing that Mike just described. And today, just everybody, anybody and everybody. And I got to tell you, guess what I saw somebody doing yesterday? Ain't nobody taking any time off for this. Panhandling. Man, that's if you have the stamina to stand outside and bound from car to car, hitting people up for money when it's 137 degrees, I got to tell you, there's a job somewhere that you can have. There really is, that is less strenuous than what you're doing now, but probably not as lucrative. And that's why this nonsense continues. We haven't done a panhandling show in a long time. It should simply be completely illegal to do business with cars in traffic, to solicit things from cars in traffic. And that means zero panhandling, zero tolerance. No, no, no. It also means that some of our favorite people, when we, you know, the boot campaign thing, and I love our firefighters. I love, are you kidding me? First responders, are you kidding me? Guys, do something in a parking lot. I'll come to you. Do anything anywhere. Put up a sign that says, hey, we're doing stuff, you know, for this charity right here in this Shell station or this mall parking lot. I will come to you. And I know that's not the same as being able to bound from car to car, you know, at the corner of, you know, Preston and Forest. I mean, I know that you, that's, you know, why do you rob banks? That's where the money is. Pardon that comparison, but you go where the traffic is, literally the traffic, but it is wrong. It is dangerous. It has always been wrong and dangerous. And there's, you know what some cities have done? It's weird because I think people get squirrely about punishing people who may already be fairly down on their luck, you know, cause what are you doing panhandling? Well, bottom line is some people are panhandling. They ain't down on their luck. They found the best gig they've had in years. Now, you ever stand out there on an intersection for a day? You know what you can come away with? Uh-huh. But if it's a little politically incorrect to say, okay, if you're out there and you're panhandling, now we're going to, you know, fine you or jail you. And I'm not looking for people to be locked up for this. It's like a ticket. Should be. So what some cities have done is they've made it they've criminalized giving. They've said that, like, if I roll down the window and throw somebody a five, that woo, you know, the lights fire up behind me and I've committed the crime. That doesn't work. So anyway, say something. Well, golly, and it's Friday. It'll be Friday tomorrow. Friday. Where'd this week go? So maybe Monday. Everybody remind me Monday, because I'm getting inundated with listeners who want to know what Mike is going to do about his traffic ticket. It's a red light ticket. Here's this subject again. It's from a red light camera in a rental car. Hertz has sent him the thing and says essentially, hey, is it like you've got to pay us so we can pay them? I think so. And Hertz has added like a $30 surcharge or something like that. And Mike's position is, I have no idea whether I did this. I haven't even heard from the city of Dallas. And here's the interesting thing. Mike doesn't live here anymore. Is this something that even if he lived here that he could just flat out ignore? Many of you are. I have not run afoul of the red light camera. You know, my usual vibe is that if that's what the system is, to kind of go along with the system. But if I think the system is wrong, try to change the system. And boy, is that underway. Because from State Senator Don Huffines to others, there are those who are, you know, looking at ripping those red light cameras out by the root almost everywhere they exist. But in the meantime, because of the premise of the inability to face your accuser, the inaccuracy of whether even knowing that you were even driving the car, it's a total mess. It's a complete mess. But I do have a story I'll keep in my pocket that I did indeed. Well, I'm not contradicting myself, right? I did receive a type of notice about something I allegedly did, and it sent me into a bit of a quandary as to what to do about it. So imagine that, down 14 other rabbit trails in today's segment. And tomorrow, Friday, or Tuesday and Friday, the reason for this is that's when Mike talks to Joe Piscopo on AM 970, The Answer in New York, where he does the morning show. Does a great job, too. so it's still so surreal. I'll go to events that our company does, some corporate confab or something like that, and there's Bob France, who's the Mark Davis of Cleveland, you know, and there's Sam Malone, who's the Mark Davis of Houston, and there's Joe Piscopo, who's the Mark Davis of New York. By that I mean the morning local host on the middle of an answer station that is filled otherwise largely with Salem Radio Network syndicated shows. And he's just a prince. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And some of the more interesting conversations I've had with Piscopo involve what it was like. Now, and he's a, you know, pretty conservative grown up now that he's 60 something or other. How old is Joe? I'm watching him. Hey, let's try this. Hang on a second. This either works or what? Here we go. You ready? Hang on. Been a while since I did this. Alexa, how old is Joe Piscopo?
Joe Piscopo is 67 years old. He was born on June
15th. Alexa, stop. Alexa, learn how to pronounce Piscopo.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Okay, clearly, Joe Piscopo. Joe Piscopo. Anyway, shut up, Alexa, stop. Enough, get off my back. God, Carp and Alexa, what are you going to do? He's 67. He's 7 years older than me. So I guess when I'm sitting there watching Saturday Night Live, when I'm 20, Joe's a young up-and-coming guy, I'm from Jersey. Are you from Jersey? Anyway, though, he's pretty conservative grown up now. But even at the time, when he was just a crazy kid, he knew that he didn't, walk in the same exact political path as, say, the Aykroyd or the Belushi or the Bill Murray. And boy, what an iconic how far that show has fallen, man. Did we change or probably both? Probably both. Anyway, us for the better and that show for the worse. Anyway, it was a pretty interesting story. So Piscopo's just a champ. So as I'm sitting here, talking to all these folks, all these other answer hosts, there's just a lot going on in the company, a lot going on in our lives, a lot going on our various shows. And so here on this one, let me refocus a little bit and take our first pause. In this particular week, we obviously got a lot of things going on in terms of Trump, a lot of stuff going on in terms of topicality. But I did ask a couple of questions that are heat related, and I want to rekindle an appropriate verb, rekindle and ignite those. It's Dollar Day at the Dallas Zoo. It seemed like such a good idea. Drum Corps, DCI, Drum Corps International, right? Man, these are some of the hardest working kids. Well, they're working a little harder right now, and they've got some gig in Denton tonight. Outdoor football stadium, woohoo! The kids are going to be playing actual football not very long, and practice is right around the corner, isn't it? Anyway, though, they've got some scheduling challenges with that. There's some big softball tournament in Plano tonight. But what does tonight mean? Doesn't get dark till 9:30, and then it doesn't cool off till 11. So if you're starting a softball tournament at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, it's still a million degrees, and the Rangers are at home. They're gonna start the post All-Star break portion of their season and try to carve something out. God love them. Anyway, their first homestand is against the Cleveland Indians. So that's great. Very cool. Should be entertaining. And they have a Sunday game. Sunday. The high Sunday slated for 107. First pitch. 2:05. Who's with me? Yeah, who's with me in getting that changed? And even if you make it a night game, and Gordon, very inspiringly, said, "Listen, can we get that new stadium cranked up? I mean, how long really does it take to could we get that thing ready for occupancy? Maybe by August 1st? No, it'll take obviously a couple more seasons before we're all heading into the brand new Ranger Stadium with a retractable roof." I was one of those guys saying, stadium we have is perfectly good. I love it. I still love it. It doesn't look old. It doesn't feel old. It doesn't feel decrepit. It doesn't feel like it's outlived its usefulness. But I will tell you, on days like this, the retractable roof seems like a really good idea. So, listen, I'll go watch the Rangers wherever they play, and hopefully they'll be good. Not the case this year, but hey. What would that Sunday game, would that have had an attendance of, you know, 30,000 people? I'm guessing tickets are cheap and plentiful. And if you sit in the sun-baked side of that stadium, because temperature is a weird thing. When you're taking a look at the weather, you know, and here's the forecast, and right now it's 101, let's say. Well, that's something that's at some weather station on, like, the roof of a building in the shade or on the side of a building in the shade. And I understand why it's in the shade, because if it's out in the blazing sun, it'll be like that thing it would put up on Twitter. It'd be 209 degrees for tomorrow's high. Or you ever get in your car. I hopped out after Crossroads Diner after the listener lunch. It was steamy, man. Hopped out of there, hopped in the car, fired it up. Car said it was 115 degrees. And, of course, by the time you move and, you know, you're still in the sunlight, but, you know, the air blows through and you're, you know, moving target, it dropped down to the far more reliable 104. But if you are stationary, if you are indeed sitting there on the first base side, no, third base side, you're in the sun. Whoa. On a Sunday 205 start against the Indians, as the temperature rockets toward like a 107, is that even smart? Is there a health-based reason, a public safety-based reason, why the Rangers ought to just call that a rainout? Or make it a night game? What's that, a three-degree difference? One idea that I heard kicking around, it's kind of interesting. First pitch, 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., you know? That would actually be kind of cool. Conflict with church a little bit there, so be careful on that. But so whatever they want to do. So how in the world do you navigate these next few days? You want the numbers on these days that we're enjoying, and I use the term loosely? We're on our fifth day, or have we already done five yesterday? This will be our sixth straight day of triple digits. We would need to do 12 more days to even make the top 10. 18 consecutive days. 18 consecutive days gets you into the top 10 of longevity for triple-digit days in DFW. And, of course, the granddaddy of them all, 1980, where between June 23rd and August 3rd, every day was triple digits for a high. 42 straight days. We logged in that span two consecutive days of 113. So, this is what it is, but we haven't topped the all-time records yet. Don't know if we will. Watch out for each other. Stay cool. Be smart. 826, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. So every morning we congregate, we gather, we take a look at things that have happened in the last day, and sometimes we take a look at stories that break all around us even as the morning dawns. Here we go. You ready? There is an American city that has begun registering illegal immigrants to vote. Local elections, but it's the foot in the door. You'll be shocked. Shocked! As to what city it is. And I did my Channel 4 hit at about 6:37, talked about some hot topics. I'm going to go ahead and play that for you. And your thoughts are welcome at 866-660-5759. Heat topics, Trump topics, local stuff, whatever you want. It is a Thursday, and we're just glad you are here and appreciate you. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis, 832. Here's Gordon. I tell you. Should we all do it together in our respective homes and cars? Please! Could you write this today? On the occasion of Brian May's birthday, playing the guitars for Queen, 71 years old, Get on your bikes and ride. All righty, Brian May, and I just cannot wait for Bohemian Rhapsody movie version that is about the early days. It wasn't about the early days; the sort of the heyday of Queen. Bohemian Rhapsody was on an album called Night at the Opera in 1975, and it's so funny because there are the scenes in the there is a preview if you just Google Bohemian Rhapsody trailer, you'll see, and they've got and I forget the actor who's in. iRobot, Mr. Robot, Lost in Space Robot, whatever the name of that show is, it makes a pretty good Freddie Mercury. And they've got this young Welsh actor playing Brian May, who looks just like young Brian May. So that all comes out in November. It's called Bohemian Rhapsody. And they say the song is like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And they go, that's you know, unheard of on the radio, which it was. And then they tried to put out an edited version of Bohemian Rhapsody, and there was revolt in the streets. It's like, no. We need every single moment. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the Fandango? What? And you know what? Do you get song fatigue? There are some great songs out there. Great songs that have either been really overplayed or you just get tired of them. Oh, no. any particular? What, like Money or what? Doom, 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 doom. Doom, doom, doom. Shane's Pink. Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. Which cements my thesis. And that is that everybody's going to have different fatigue. Money, which is on Dark Side of the Moon, and it is iconic and everywhere. And Shane's would just as soon never hear Pink Floyd's Money again. And when I go, if I've got like a bunch of Pink Floyd, you know, on the iPhone and stuff like that, I'm going to go probably find some deep cut from Wish You Were Here or Momentary Lapse of Reason or something like that. Now, so if that's not blasphemous enough, Rhonda weighs in with her negative earworm. Any particular Van Halen or just the whole? Wow, Sammy or Dave? Or both? Oh, wow. I should not have brought this up. No, this is perfect because maybe one of the biggest Pink Floyd fans in the world is Rhonda, and maybe one of the biggest Van Halen fans in the world is Shane, and that means that she'll listen to anything by Pink Floyd, even stuff she's heard a million times, she'll hear it a million more. And Shane will never weary of Dave, never weary of Sammy, whether it's, you know, here in Panama or you know, for the 9 millionth time or anything else. So, all right, okay. You ready for this? Okay, I'm gonna dork out for a second. They tested a bunch of hits across various genres, and this keeps coming back to me that there's a record that almost nobody gets tired of. Like a hit, like, you know, it is Cyndi Lauper's "Time After Time." So it has, like, for some reason, a very, very low fatigue factor because it's beautifully written. She's great. and nobody ever goes, "Oh, my God, I'm Time After Time again." Blah. I'll tell you, I'll give you mine. It's an artist I really love and it with an extremely recognizable intro. And I will break my arm or yours getting to the radio because I just don't need to hear it anymore. Sit tight. Let's do this. Let's do this. Okay. Let's do a Who's With Me. This is good radio. Actually, I hope it is. I know. Do I need to take calls on this? No. Okay. Hang on a second. This is an artist I absolutely love. And but there's just something about that. Okay, here we go. You ready, folks? There's no way in the world you could have any kind of clue, okay? It is an artist I absolutely, totally love. His entire catalog is great. He's also part of my wheelhouse, having achieved, you know, big, big, big fame in the 70s. And yet for some reason, I don't quite know why it is, and this got played enormously, I'm done. And in fact, it's almost a hashtag, and we can apply this across whichever examples they had. Lifetime limit met. Lifetime limit met. Meaning I've heard this enough, And I just absolutely do not need to hear it at all ever again. Not because it's terrible, because it's not. It's an iconic record. But I'm just done. I'm just completely and totally done. You ready? Yeah, well, I am. Oh, here we go. Yeah. That's it.
Just take those old records off.
Lifetime limit met. And again, love Seeger. Love him. Give me Kathmandu, Against the Wind, Turn the Page, the Metallica remake of Turn the Page. But did Risky Business do this? I don't think so. I mean, because Tom Cruise ruins everything. Yeah, I can't take Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone either. So I don't know. So there we are. What got me going there? All right, let's take a look at what got us going this morning on the Big Fox 4. Tim Ryan is out this week, so it was Dan Godwin joining Lauren Prisbell, and we talked about stuff going on in the news, and that was this morning's Fox 4 segment. If you're up padding around the house at like 6:30 on a Thursday morning, fire up the TV box, and coming up about 6:38 on a given Thursday morning, there I will be.
Welcome back. Mark Davis from 660 AM The Answer joins us this morning. Good morning, Mark. Now, I feel like we've heard a lot of
morning,
what I really meant to say out of President Trump lately. Some Republicans disgusted, speaking up, although some people surprised by that. Are you surprised that Trump is now backpedaling? And do you really think it was tough enough on Putin?
Well, it would have been lovely in a perfect world and in a vacuum to have the president look right at Vladimir Putin at that news conference and tell him where to stuff that World Cup soccer ball. You meddled, we know it, and don't jack with our elections anymore. Here's why that was never going to happen. Number one, and you can like or not like this about the president, there's one thing front of mind for him all the time, and that is to make sure that he doesn't lend anything to the narrative that his tormentors are on all day, and that is that Russia made his own victory illegitimate. So he's going to avoid that, even touching on that. And the second thing, the reason he's not going to be particularly aggressive toward Putin, even though the president knows that they tried to meddle in terms of messing with DNC and Hillary emails, is that he's trying to improve relations over there. He's trying to improve relations with China, trying to improve relations with North Korea. It's what he does. It's a kind of a business-related thing. Most people on the show here have said, you know, if America and Russia have 90% of the world's nukes, it's probably a good idea for us to get along better rather than worse. So amid all the noise and amid all of that, let's take a look at real policies. We still have sanctions. We still kick 60 of their diplomats out. I think the president's suggestion that he is, you know, way tougher on Russia than Obama was is accurate. And let's move forward and look at actual policies. If he pulls troops out of Syria next week, you know, then we got something we can flip out about. But I think this whole Helsinki thing was a lot of smoke.
All right, Mark, Papa John of Papa John's Pizza. Of course, he stepped down as head of the company or mm-hmm, chairman. Yeah. And now he's saying, you know what, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have resigned. I was really railroaded for this comment that people interpreted as racist.
Well, he walked into the buzzsaw that exists right now if a certain word leaves your mouth in any way, shape, or form. I remember when that story first broke. It's like the Papa John's guy dropped an N-word in the middle of a conference call, and I thought, oh, my God, is it 1962? Did he call somebody one? And, of course, the answer to that is no. He used the term in reference to its usage by somebody else. But you know what? You got to play the field the way it is striped, not the way you think it is. And maybe this was hasty? Was it an overreaction? Almost certainly. But what everybody should know is that that word is off limits, even in a third person. Hey, I just heard that guy call that guy. Guess what? You just can't do it. You don't do it. So, you know, what's done is done.
Yeah, he sounds like he's going to keep fighting. So we'll see if this is all done yet. Let's talk about the boys from Thailand, finally seeing them out of the hospital, being released from the hospital yesterday. And I have to say, seeing them in their soccer uniforms, apologizing to their parents, talking about what they went through and how scared they were. I mean, these were real moments here that we saw.
It was. And do you know how close we came to attending 12 or 13 funerals?
I know.
Do you know,
that's so
but
sad.
For just, and to have that not happen and just to close us out, there's a lot of messed up stuff going on in the world, going on in our country.
Mm-hmm.
This story is wrapped around my heart and I will not let it go. These young men told about the Thai Navy SEAL, Saman Gunan, who died in the rescue attempt. They were told about this a few days after being brought out. They didn't tell him that as they were bringing him out through the cave. And they cried, they prayed, they took a portrait of him, they signed that portrait, and they committed to him and to his memory to lead good lives. I'm going to get through this. And many of them said, when I grow up, I want to be a Navy SEAL. God bless these young men, and I love this story so very much. Thanks for putting it in there.
Right there with you. You can listen to the Mark Davis Show every morning, 6.
Yes, you can. Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of times as I'm talking, they will run, get ready for TV lingo, B-roll. B-roll is video that you see while someone is talking. And that, of course, would be me during that segment. And they showed these kids, the last, 10 times we've seen them, they've been in hospital gowns, but they gave them all little soccer, some of them not so little, some of those kids are big, soccer uniforms. And they just looked great. And I watched some of this news conference and through the translators and this and that and some of what they said. And at one point they brought out the portrait of this man, this magnificent hero, Saman Gunan, a former Thai Navy SEAL, who said, listen, I got diving skills. Let me see how I can help. Let me see if I can help bring these kids out of this cave. And he died in that effort. They did indeed sign that picture, said a prayer for him and for his family, and pledged to his memory that they would grow up and lead good lives. It's just a magnificent thing. And as I was talking on Fox 4 this morning there, they showed the footage of those boys bringing out the framed portrait of Sergeant Major Gunan. There's a lot of jacked up stuff going on in the world, in the country, maybe in our lives, depending on what you're going through. Every once in a while, there's just something that rivets and restores your faith in how good. It's kind of funny. I say that your faith in human nature, that might be phrased wrong, because human nature is not evil, but human nature itself is not good. Unguided, unfettered, human nature is very base, very sinful, when people do good things, it's not just because the human nature thing kicked in. It's because they've been raised well, a godly path, good parents, good mentors, good influences. Even people in the worst of conditions can sometimes be capable of really good things because they have found something good to cling to, something good to follow, some beacon to light their way. And God bless these kids. All right, 8:52, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer. This is kind of cool. Let us head into the jazz album by Queen, 1977, with Fat Bottom Girls. And the very last track on that, called More of That Jazz, little Brian May. When you talk about the great guitarists, you got your Jimmy Page, your Eddie Van Halen. Totally, totally get it. But what Brian May lent to the sound of Queen, vocals by drummer Roger Taylor in this case. Roger Taylor will crank out a little vocal for you. There's a little thing called I'm in Love with My Car on Night of the Opera. Pretty great. Brian May is 71 today. All right, let's cruise in, see what's going on. 9 o'clock hour, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.